want to share a message with you that's been on my heart, and I feel like it's something that God would have us all share today. My title is, Why Are You Angry? Why are you angry? Those are the words of God spoken to one of the first human beings ever, Cain, and we'll read that in just a moment. Before I go, let me share something of humorous. I heard about this elderly couple that were sitting on their porch, and the elderly woman was in a romantic mood, and she told her husband, I remember when we used to hold hands. And he scooched his chair a little closer and stretched out his wrinkly hand and grabbed her hand, and he held hands with his wife. And a few minutes later, she said, I remember when you used to kiss me on the cheek. Well, he leaned over and gave her a good kiss on her cheek. And a few minutes later, she said, I remember when you used to nibble on my ear. He got up and stormed off, and she said, What's wrong? Where are you going? He turned around and said, I'm going to go get my teeth. Romance. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says this. Adam knew, wink, wink, Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain a son and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. She gave birth again. This time his brother was named Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. So he kept the garden and one kept the sheep. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but the Lord did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain then was angry, and his countenance or his facial expression fell. I've never been able, my wife, after 41 years, I've done such a good job in controlling my words, and now we get in trouble just for facial expressions, because my wife could always tell. I'd tell her, I didn't say anything. She said, I saw your face. I'm not a good hider. My face is a revelation. And the Lord approached Cain like a father to a child and said, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies, is the picture of a lion crouched ready to leap, lies at the door. It's desirous for you, but you should rule over it. You should master your anger. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Famous sentence. And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So interesting, that is referred to in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. When the Holy Spirit says, There was power and a voice given because of the innocence of his life being slain. His blood cried out to God. And the writer of Hebrews says, How much more shall the perfect, precious, powerful blood of Jesus cry out to God that we are forgiven, redeemed, delivered, and adopted? That the power of blood speaks to God about what he's done for us. Then God said to him, Consequently, you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. So there's, lastly, he says, a fugitive and a vagabond you'll be on the earth. Father, thank you for your word, anoint your servant, your word, and your people. Do heart surgery on us today. Have your way. Show the devil who's boss. In Jesus' name, amen. When the Lord said, you'll be a fugitive and a vagabond, those words in our English language, a fugitive means to move from place to place, to run away, to be transient, wandering. Vagabond means the same thing, moving from place to place without having a fixed home, leading an unsettled, unrespectable, or disreputable life. So it's the portrait, a person that's chronically angry, blows up every place they ever go to, and they end up leaving. Why? Because anger refuses them to allow them to settle in relationships or life, whatever kind of environment. I love how the Lord said to Cain, because Cain is experiencing anger born of insecurity. He's now jealous. He's envy. He has envy. And the Lord's trying to help him look into his soul, look into his heart, and uncover the root cause of his anger. And it's you know, men and women, we're created differently. And women are emotionally more vulnerable, more transparent, and more open about their emotions. When I fly in a plane, for example, I'm sitting next to a woman within a few moments, she'll have out her pictures and showing me her kids, her grandkids, talking about her life, talking about her week. Before long, I'm doing counseling, or but it just, things can advance quickly. And when I'm with a man, you know, weather sure been hot. How about them Cardinals? If you get past weather and sports with a man, you've gone deep with a man. Because men are emotionally shy. A man will answer the front door in his underwear. What you want? But make him talk about his deep feelings. He starts sweating and because it's harder for a man to go through that than a woman. And so Cain is refusing to look in. And he's blaming his anger and then the rage and wrath that came from it on his brother. He's jealous. For all of us, my first point is this. Have an honest, Holy Spirit-led examination of why you're angry. Is it righteous anger, sinful anger, or a little of both? So in the Bible, there is definitions for those two places, righteous and sinful anger. What is righteous anger? Well, the Bible says this, that God gets angry. Gloriously and wonderfully and to our benefit, the Bible says he's slow to anger. You should appreciate that. We should all appreciate that God looks at the earth and he's slow to anger. He looks at us, he's slow to anger. Often people get upset that God doesn't intervene in a justice or judgmental way quicker in someone's journey, but his mercy endures forever. God's patient, he's long-suffering, and his anger, he's slow to anger. Well, that means something important for us. Because if God can get angry, he's given me the capacity for anger. So righteous anger is a believer's response to, here's a couple of points, injustice, deception, unfulfilled purpose or destiny, oppression, pridefulness, blasphemy against God or his word, mistreatment, abuse, or violence in our lives or others. Those are just a few six examples of things that can produce righteous anger. Jesus is about to heal a man with a withered hand, and all the Pharisees are upset he's going to do it on the Sabbath. And he looks around, the Bible says, he looked at them in anger. The best example of the anger of Christ is when he came to the temple, and he sat outside for a few moments. He didn't just walk inside and blow his fuse. He sat outside and handmade a whip, the most anointed whip in history. And then he went inside, and he drove out the money changers, they turned over their tables. What would happen is all of the festivals that the Israelites would come, Hebrews would come from all around the world to worship in Jerusalem, and business people in the temple would charge them exorbitant cost. So if, for example, a dove would cost, 50 cents, they'd charge $50, whatever. The person needed it, and so they were merchandising people's worship. And Christ had enough of it. He tore the temple and he says, my father's house will be a house of prayer. you've turned to a den of thieves. And so he became angry, what? Whenever a kingdom purpose is unfulfilled or misused. So there's anger. Now, here's an important point. Christ experienced anger, but Christ was not chronically angry. He was a happy man. Okay? He had joy, contagious joy in his life. What is anger? Point number three, is it a sin? How does it come? How can we overcome anger? Glad you asked. Anger is a normal human emotion. God gave me and you, you and I, on the spectrum of our design, the capacity to experience anger. And there's a bunch of reasons for that, but we have that reason. So having anger is normal. Everyone experiences feelings of anger, okay? Anger varies from being mildly irritated to expressing intense fury and rage. So we all have anger, but let's press into it a little more. Being angry is not a sin. Experiencing the emotion of anger is not a sin. What's a sin, Pastor? When I act angrily, when I act verbally, physically, in anger. So when I give place to anger, it becomes a sin. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4. Be angry, but don't sin. Now, God's not commanding you today, yeah, the Lord told me to be angry. No, when you experience anger normally, don't let it grow into sinful actions. So you have to, Cain had anger, but he didn't master the beast. And the Lord said, you should rule over this. But he would not. So his anger led him to murderous behavior. And so we can be angry, but not sin. Come on, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You worship God for almost an hour. You're going to drive home potentially in this beautiful city of 5.5 million people. There might be a jerky driver that intersects your pathway on the way home. And you're just filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, next to you, someone does something vastly inappropriate. And you feel the motion of anger. That's not a sin. Now, if you roll down your window, if you express some thoughts that maybe Jesus wouldn't say, or if you give hand gestures that cannot be shared in a Christ-like manner, then you're giving place to anger. So I experience the emotion of anger, but then I have to rule it. The next verse says, neither give place to the devil. How do I give place to the devil? By having unrestrained, uncontrolled anger. It happens all the time. A couple guys driving home, often professional men, they're driving home, bum, 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 and all of a sudden they have this thing, this new phrase we discovered like 20 years, 25 years ago, called road rage. When highly intelligent men act like idiots. Why? Anger unrestrained leads to foolish behavior. And so they do things out of character because they had a powerful emotion of anger. So what does that mean? Well, for us as believers, it means this: anger may win the moment, but it must not be allowed to win the day. The next verse says this: be angry, don't sin. The last part of that verse, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So God says, deal with it quickly and don't let it be passed on into tomorrow. Don't wake up angry tomorrow. This beautiful woman and I made a covenant 41 years ago to never go to bed angry at each other. And we haven't for 41 years. Of course, that's why I look so tired all the time, but we haven't for 41 years gone to bed angry at each other. So we understood spiritually that things would grow in our family that would be really unhealthy, really bad attitudes and other kinds of things if we didn't process things quickly. And so the Holy Spirit helps us process. So God will help you overcome anger as long as you invite him and want him to. So we want to make sure that we don't give an inappropriate, virtuous elevation to anger. A lot of people are in this moment. So we want to look at it through the lens of Scripture, the lens of the Holy Spirit. What does God think about it, okay? Here's a really good point for all of us. As a born-again believer, let me ask you, are you born again? Have you found salvation in Jesus? Are your sins washed away? The moment you got born again, God gave you a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things passed away, all things made new. So here's the promise of God. As a born-again believer, you've been given every tool necessary to overcome and rule over anger in your life. So I have the tools. I have the tool set. We spent $15 and I have an illustrated sermon today. So could someone bring it out for me from wherever it is? Thank Christian, whoever made it. So I'm going to talk about the spectrum of anger in our life and how we can overcome it. Galatians 6 and chapter 5, Paul talks about two worlds. He talks about walking in your fleshly governance and walking in your spiritual governance. Can you push it back a little bit because of the side view here? Just, I want everyone to be able to see it. Does that make you angry, Christian? Let's go back. Can you push it back to right here? We have a really crazy wide view here. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this, I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the appetite of the flesh. The flesh lusts and wars against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to each other. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident. Now he talks about these specific behaviors that are fleshly sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So he says this. So three kind of categories: sins of idolatry, sins of overconsumption of alcohol, sins that are sexual sins, and then sins that are angry sins. So he's talking about all the world of the flesh, the appetite of our flesh. Now here's what he said this. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. So when I woke up today, I got me some fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I woke up today, thank you, Holy Spirit, today for love and joy and peace. I thanked him. I pray that prayer every day. Why? I need it because the other stuff is there too. So the things we read about, the old fleshly nature is there, but my new nature is superior. It's more powerful. It has authority over my old nature. Your new nature in Christ is stronger than your old nature in Adam. You got to get that. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm Latina. We're just hot-blooded people. I'm Italian. We're just hot-blooded people. Oh, I know, but the blood of Jesus is stronger than your Latina, Italian, whatever. You never want to excuse bad behavior on your genes. Yeah, I wish I could do that, but you don't know my family. You don't understand. You got a new family. You got a new bloodline. And in your new family and bloodline, God gives you a strong nature. James 1 says this, my beloved brethren, James preaching to us, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. Wrath is revenge or acts of anger. For the revengeful acts of anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So everyone has a spectrum. Oh, we want to start good. So we have a spectrum, let's say from 1 to 10. This is you being like Jesus, and this is you not being like Jesus. So this is you living without anger. This is you being governed by anger. So everyone has like a gauge. You have a revealing gauge. You can tell how angry you are by a couple measurements. Number one, a lot of people are in the middle, and they, what I call slow burners. And if you're a slow burner, what happens to a slow burner who's carrying constant anger, but just beneath the surface, you jump to 10 really quick. So see, God starts here. And he's slow to anger. Why? Because he doesn't carry it. He's not angry every day. He doesn't watch the news get angry. He's not angry about this or that or you or Maya. He's the so when God gets angry all the way to that level, it's both rare and extreme and powerful because it's not his normal default position. His mercy endures forever. So a couple things. So you can tell by what comes out of your mouth where you are in the spectrum. Have you ever said something and been surprised you said it? I can't believe I just said it. Where'd that come from? I know where it came from. You're running hot. And when you're running hot, you leap forward too fast. It's not good to stay angry. It's not. When I was a boy, we measured in Pentecost and we measured people's spirituality by how miserable they were. The misery index. And so the more miserable you were, the more spiritual you were. They said, oh, look at her. She's so miserable. She's so close to Jesus. And so we associated dysfunctional human emotions with godliness. What a load of you know what? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more love and joy and peace you should carry. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. So the closer I get to him, my emotions should reflect it by my words, my attitudes, my behaviors with others. So we want to be slow. We don't want to run hot, and we don't want to, if you know someone who moves to 10 really quickly, it's because they're not starting at zero. They're running hot. They have a constancy of anger. Proverbs says this, he that slow the anger, Proverbs 16, is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Here's what God says. You're really powerful, not when you rule by political or other ways, finances, a city. You're really powerful when you control your anger. When you can control your anger. When anger is not driving the steering wheel of your life. Point number four, ask for forgiveness when you're angry for your anger, and then ask the Lord to show you why you're angry. See, we don't want to pray 20 times a day, God, forgive me for being angry, and never ask God to help us find out why we're angry. What is bugging me? What is inside of me causing anger? There's a lot of things that could. Ecclesiastes 7 says, I think Beautiful Mary quoted this, don't hasten in your spirit to be angry. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Yeah. Did you know men, you know, women are bilateral in their brain. So a woman has both creative and logic functions all at once. That's why women have superior memories and a bunch of different cognitive measurements because their whole brain works at once. And so they can locate a memory by an emotional consequence. Men have men's brains are divided. When little babies are born, when they're called to be a little boy, a chemical comes out of the mother into the child called testosterone. And it washes across the brain and it causes brain damage. And what it does is it brings a severance, it brings a division between logic and creativity or emotion. So here's the thing, when a man's emotional, he always loses some logic. That was just a polite way of saying he gets stupid. So when I'm all, that's why when a person is a grown, educated, powerful, intelligent man can act like an idiot when he's in anger because logic has lost its influence in that moment. So we want to, as believers, win the battle so anger doesn't gain ascendancy. Angry, Proverbs 29 says, an angry man stirs up strife. Furious man. So what does that mean? Well, people that cause division are always people that are angry. Strife bringers, okay? There's anger in Psalms 37 says, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, worry, it only causes harm. Proverbs 15 says, if a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, it's really true in marriage, in any kind of environment. It takes two to tango. So when someone's arguing with you, when you don't argue back, you win. In marriage, the first person to apologize wins. My wife has a 41-year unbroken record of winning. So the discretion of a man, Proverbs 19 says, makes him slow to anger. So we want to be slow to anger, okay? We don't want to live here and just bump right there. We don't want to be a 7 in our resting place. Okay? We want to start here and be as healthy in our hearts as we can be, and the Holy Spirit will help us. Okay? The Holy Spirit will help us. Great verse in Romans 12, it says this, as much as it is possible in your own abilities, live peaceably with all people. So do your best. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath or revenge. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So you have to trust God with someone that hurt you, that God will take care of it. Yes. Now, you know, there's a lot of promise that says that you shouldn't mess with God's anointed people. First to the Jews, now to every believer. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. I believe when someone picks on you, they get God's attention. I believe that when you forgive them and walk away from anger, God will deal with them, however he will. But when you determine to be a part of the revenge factor, you've interfered on God's plans and you've made yourself unhealthy. The last verse of that chapter says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil. Well, the verses are talking about what? Anger. Don't let anger rule the day, okay? Anger might win the moment, but never let it win the day. Okay, some root causes of anger. That's why you need to download these notes. Here they are. Number one, insecurity, jealousy, envy. No doubt, kind of easy to see that behavior in Cain. He's insecure, he becomes jealous of his brother's success. Here's what God said to him. If you do what your brother did, you can have what your brother has. God is fair. God is fair. And God says, if you want what they have, do what they've done. And God gives us examples in scriptures. And so God, he is non-partial. He doesn't bless people because of the color of their skin or their sex. He doesn't bless people because of any of their family. He blesses people that do right. And when people do right, walk in faith and obey God, there's consequences. Number two, cause of anger, unhealed wounds and traumas. A lot of uncontrolled anger is a direct result of unhealed wounds. Unhealed wounds He will manifest them. It will come out in anger. Okay. Comparison. Comparison is not only the thief of joy, it is the author of anger. It's amazing how happy people are until they see someone else get blessed. How'd they get that new car? New house? And their mind goes haywire and they lose their joy. Feeling mistreated, experiencing injustice, common way of being angry. If you experience injustice, you should be angry. If you experience injustice, you can't stay angry. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Sherry. Why? Because you're killing yourself. Anger's like drinking poison, expecting them to die. Feeling let down by people or by God. I'm angry people failed me. Being self-righteous. Being around angry people. The Bible says, make no friends with an angry person lest you also become angry. It's been my experience in the church world that about half of the people that are offended didn't even have something happen to them. They just adopted someone else's offense. A lot of time, not even true. Offense, okay? Unconfessed sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will haunt you. The most unhappy person in the world is not a sinner. Of course, there's a dimension of unhappiness not knowing Christ. That's true. But the most unhappy person in the world is a backslider. Why? Because the world can't give them what they know only God can give them. Confusion, unconfessed sin, unhealthy family dynamics. Okay, we all have dysfunctional families just by degrees, okay? Not trusting God completely, unforgiveness can make people angry. Not being full of the Holy Spirit, absence of the Word of God. Here's some symptoms of anger: harsh, hurtful words, being easily or continuously offended. Like I say, our culture is making offense a virtue. Okay, just like we did a long time ago, miserable people were holy. Now we're saying angry people are just. That's just not true. The cause. Don't ruin a good cause with bad anger. Don't let a righteous cause be defiled by unrighteous anger. Come on, I had a couple of people screaming at me this week, you know, and I didn't scream back. I prayed for them and hope that they get over it. Okay, uncontrolled pain. Okay, a couple more things. Criticalness, people that are hypercritical aren't just spiritual or deep or intellectual or discerning, they're angry. Depression is often anger turned inward. Anxiety, ridicule, cynicism, mockery, those are forms of the manifestation of anger. Physical violence, isolation, hate, strife, jealousy, being unloving, those are all kind of, listen, there's 1,000 different ways that I tried to highlight some things that I felt. Couple points. When we forgive the people that have hurt us, God makes us forget the pain they've caused us. You cannot escape a pain that you won't forgive the person who caused it. You cannot escape the pain of life if you won't forgive the people that caused it. Forgiveness gets me out of what people put me in. Okay? That's what God's promise is. Anger causes, now we know psychosomatically, this has been around for like 40 years, the connectedness between mental and emotional health and your physical bodies. Anger causes heart disease, high blood pressure, weakened immunity, nerve damage, bone damage, organ tissue damage. Anger is literally a poisonous chemical that begins to flow into your body. The longer you're angry, the more vulnerable you are. 5 minutes of your anger, I think it's about, weakens your immunity for 24 hours. A person who has an angry outburst for 2 hours is vulnerable to a stroke. Anger poisons our body. Our bodies were not designed by God to sustain the presence of anger. Anger is almost always the symptom of something else that's not right, usually pain. Stop feeding on things that make you angry. Angry, offended, and bitter people see life in a distorted, ugly, and ungodly way. No one can make you angry. Stop giving other people control of your life. No, see, we do this in therapy. In therapy, we tell people not to tell, you know, we don't tell a husband or wife when they feel angry. You can't point at them and say, you make me feel this way. Do we teach them to say, I'm feeling this way. When you do that, here's how I feel. And we stop deflecting responsibility for our emotions. Okay? You alone are responsible for your life and your emotions.
Amen.
You can't conquer an unhealthy issue in your life as long as you deny personal responsibility for it. No, it's not my fault, my family, it's not my fault. This happened, there's a, well, I'm an expert on walking through pain and trauma, injustice, mistreatment from the government, from the legal system, from the press, you name it, we've been through it. When I lifted those things to God, none of them were good enough excuses to be angry. God says, I'm sorry that happened. So what? Forgive them and get better. Stop blaming other people for you being emotionally unhealthy. Many people are living life with a constant, slow-burning anger. Ah. I'm a warrior. No, you're just unhealthy. People that have sudden outbursts of anger have been in a slow burn for a long time. Man, slow burners freak me out. Because everything's fine, and one day, kaboom! Where'd that come from? It was there. The volcano was boiling, just waiting for a moment. Here comes the anger. People will always try to justify their anger by giving a reason for it. The problem is, it's never a good reason to God. I'm angry because of, well, let's be honest. This year has given us some reasons to be angry. Pick your poison. To God, none of those reasons matter. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be strong in grace and love and joy. He wants you to be Christ-like no matter what the world is doing. Hate is the face of an angry soul. Being continually angry is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Anger is only one letter away from danger. Danger, danger. When the Lord started helping me overcome depression and overcome other things, He helped me kind of layer through anger issues. And the Holy Spirit will help you find out why you're angry. Well, my family, this thing happened, this divorce, this death, this hurt, this pain, this injustice, this, yeah, I get it. Anger came because of it. But you can't let it stay. You can't stay in a constancy of mid-level anger and expect to be healthy. Expect your relationships to blossom, your kids to flourish, your health to be sustained. It just doesn't work. I remember what I'd asked the Lord. He was doing such a good work in me. And Mary and I were heading to a meeting, Mary and I and our two daughters, Melody and Christina. And it was at the, it used to be a hotel at 24th Street in Camelback, and we were coming, and we were fashionably late, and we were late I don't want to blame because I had three women, but I was late because I had passengers in my car. And so I'm like 10 minutes late to the meeting. And we had sponsored the meeting, three of churches, and our sponsorship as a church, I think, was 10,000. And so they said, don't even worry about being late. We have seats saved with laminate. Your name has been laminated and taped on the seat. Well, okay. So we come in, service is going on, and ushers had given away my seats because I'm like the front row. And they'd given it to another pastor who didn't sponsor the meeting. In fact, he had kind of divided my church. And so when I walked into the meeting and saw him there, I was like stunned. I stood in the aisle just staring at him. He's lost in the glory. He's thinking, got a 10,000 seat for free. And I'm over there angry, thinking, how unjust is this? And the usher says, oh, we have seats here for you and your family in the second row. I said, no, thank you. I walked all the way to the last row of the meeting. The funny thing was there was like 10 empty rows in front of me. And I'm sitting in the back row like this. So I couldn't stop thinking about this slightly overweight man. His slightly overweight bottom. Sitting on my $10,000 laminated name. I couldn't get it out. I was being tormented. So the meeting's over. I didn't say goodbye. I got my beautiful wife and girls, got in the car, and go home. And so my wife always knows when I'm upset not to say anything. She just says, like, Jesus, take care of him. So I'm in the front seat. And the Lord starts talking to me. I see that you're angry. Yes, and I know that you know why. You saw that man's rather large buttocks in my $10,000 seat. And the Lord said, here's what he said to me. Oh, it's that important to you where you sit. You know, Jesus actually did a whole sermon about Pharisees wanting the best seats. So I'm thinking, if you put it that way, no. And the Lord starts digging down. Why are you angry, boy? Guess I don't got a good reason. So when I asked the Lord to help me overcome anger, God exposed me whenever I had it. And he said, don't use your superficial excuse. What's really bugging you? What's really bugging you? And he went deep in me. Disarmed depression, disarmed hopelessness, disarmed being unhappy, and helped me overcome. And I just want to tell you, you can conquer anger. Jesus helped me. My grandkids, we had a little outdoor adventure wagon hike last night with three of our kids, London and Roman and Dakota, and I took them up the mountain, a little wagon, and we're having fun, and they all think I'm like the happiest guy in the world. That's the only man they know. They don't know the angry, depressed guy, because that guy was healed by Jesus. And I just want to encourage you that you don't want to waste years being angry about things. Those things may change. God may use you. Yeah, fight for great causes. I'm not against any of those things. I just want you to be healthy. I want you to survive life. Life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. The stuff you stay angry about in your 20s and 30s becomes diseases that kills you in your 50s and 60s. You can't afford to stay angry. It'll ruin your relationships. It'll steal your destiny. It will harm the things you're called to heal. And it's so important we contend, especially in this moment, because there's a heightened anger for so many reasons, but we want to not participate in that. If you've been fighting anger, I just want to encourage you. It's okay. You're human. And God knows you. He loves you. He's going to help you. If you've been running hot, God's going to help you cool off. God's going to help you disarm the things that make you feel constantly angry. Well, I'm angry about this cause. Well, it's good to be passionate and driven toward a kingdom cause. If that cause is making you sick, you ain't doing it right. Jesus never allowed anger to dominate his ministry. He had moments of it, not a lifetime of it. The same for us. God help me, God's going to help you. We literally rewire our brains for love and joy and peace every time we resist acting in anger. There's no room for God's love in the heart of the person who is filled with hatred and anger. I don't know about you. I want to have so much love in me, there's no room for the other stuff. Amen? There's no room for any of that stuff. I've been able to minister to people who in the past broke my heart with not one trace of anger in me. When things happen to people, you see, you can't look at someone, people this week praying and hoping the president dies. I get it, you disagree, but you don't understand. God sees how we look at people. And when God so healed me that I prayed he wouldn't judge the people that hurt me. You know you're healed when you have tears of compassion, when you watch the people that hurt you suffer. When you pray, God, don't let them suffer for my cause. You know you've come full circle into Christ-likeness when that's a part of your life. Amen? That's who we should be. Hey, I'm all done. Would you stand to your feet, please?